This past week, 23 people received phone calls that changed their lives. In an instant, they were $500,000 richer. The money came from the MacArthur Foundation, which annually awards fellowships that are sometimes called genius grants. The money is doled out over 5 years, and there are no strings attached. Since 1981, more than 600 people have been named MacArthur Fellows. Writer Patricia Hampel won in 1990. At the time, she was a 44-year-old writing professor at the University of Minnesota who had written 2 books of poetry and a memoir. Hampel says she had no idea how significant the award was.
I remember the University of Minnesota, where I teach, called me right after I got this news and asked if I would like to have a press conference. And that was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard in my life. That was the sort of thing that a president had or something. So I said, well, no, of course not. Well, in the end, I wish I had taken them up on it, because I spent the first few days just fielding more telephone calls and requests for interviews than I would have ever. I mean, it was hard to get dressed in the morning for a few days. So that was a surprise for me.
Some past winners say the award paralyzed them for a time because of the stigma attached to the term genius. For Hampel, the award had the opposite effect.
You know, there's nothing like that kind of pat on the back to confirm you. Most of the people who get these things work alone, if they're writers or scientists or something like that. And so it does help, I think, at that level of confirmation. And it was fun to have this happen at that point in my life. And I can't say that I can think of a downside to it right now. I remember feeling that when something gets folded into your life, you kind of don't know how to detach it, but you also don't know how to talk about it.
Writer Patricia Hampel, a 1990 MacArthur Fellow. Her latest book is a collection of essays called I Could Tell You Stories. One person whose life will be changed by the MacArthur Award is David Wilson. He's the founder of the Museum of Jurassic Technology in Culver City, California, and one of this year's Genius Award recipients. For years, Wilson has struggled to keep his weird and wonderful museum afloat, attracting visitors by playing his accordion on the street. The MacArthur Foundation describes Wilson as a lone and sometimes quirky ombudsman of our changing information landscape. I don't know what that means, but perhaps David Wilson can help me out. He joins us from our Los Angeles bureau.
Hello, and I don't know what it means either.
Your place is called the Museum of Jurassic Technology, which is misleading because one would think it has to do with dinosaurs, but in fact it doesn't.
It doesn't at all. We're inspired by older museums, actually, by 17th and 18th century museums. Those early museum forms were eclectic. They had not just art, they didn't have just natural history, it was everything. It was the whole world within four walls, much like an encyclopedia.
Yeah, but we're talking about some weird things. I mean, I think, you know, a carved almond pit or almond itself. I mean, this is not just normal natural history.
What we attempt to do is focus in the areas outside of the mainstream, outside of sort of that center point of vision where most museums seem to focus. In other words, we look at the sort of peripheral vision of the culture, and that turns out is an extraordinarily wide and wonderful field.
Well, give me an example.
Currently we have a small exhibition of the works of Hagopsin Dalgan, an Armenian microminiaturist who carved out of tiny pieces of his own hair, tiny sections of his own hair, the likeness of Pope John Paul II or Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and then meticulously painted these sculptures between the beats of his heart and then mounted them within the eye of a needle. And the viewer, the patron to the museum, views these through little microscope eyepieces.
It doesn't even sound believable.
Perhaps not, but there they are.
But, okay, you just mentioned something that's artistic. You also have things that are supposedly really from real life. There was the woman in the 16th century, Mary Davis.
Mary Davis of Saughall, right.
Who supposedly had a horn that grew out of her head.
More than supposedly. There's actually a whole history quite well documented of people who, over the course of recorded history, have grown horns. Mary Davis of Sag Hall was one of the most celebrated of these peoples. And curiously and wonderfully, really, in the past, and this was the case with Mary Davis, but many others as well, these people were not shunned. It was actually like an entree to court. It was a thing that allowed one to have a quite prominent place in culture.
David Wilson, why do you collect these things?
Oftentimes, what we were calling earlier the kind of periphery of cultural vision is out of sight. It's not seen, and it becomes all too easy to assume that we actually understand, and with kind of a capital U, the nature of things. And I think our institution simply exists to try and help people remember that maybe we don't, in fact, capital U, understand all of it.
David Wilson is the founder of the Museum of Jurassic Technology in Culver City, California. He just won a MacArthur Fellowship. Thank you, David Wilson.
Thank you kindly.
To find out more about this year's other MacArthur Foundation Fellows, or to listen to a story about David Wilson and the Museum of Jurassic Technology, check out our website, www.npr.org.